Genesis 3, verses 4 and 5 says this, "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from the subject, Father Knows Best. Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. I thank you, Lord, for your word. Help me to be accurate in teaching it. Give us open ears and hearts to hear it and receive it. And God, we do it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We can be deceived if all we have is communicated knowledge to us. We can have information given to us, and even though that information may be true and accurate, it can still be, we can be deceived by it. What we need when it comes to God and understanding His ways of doing things and His wisdom is what I would call, we need revealed knowledge, as opposed to simply communicated knowledge. Because to me, with revealed knowledge, there's understanding that goes along with it. We live in a time in a world where there is more information available to us than any other time. And I forget the numbers, but it used to be it'd take like, 80 years, 100 years for the amount of information in the world to be doubled. Now it's like doubling every 9 months. I mean, it's just crazy how fast all the information that we have. But that information alone, we are living proof, and we watch it every day on the news, that information alone, just because we have information doesn't mean we know more, amen? I saw this on the news that, they've torn down all the statues because of all the institutional racism. They tore down a Ulysses S. Grant statue. Hello? Does anybody know what the problem with that is? I hope you do, or I'm going to be really, really disappointed, okay? There's certain basic things that as American you should know. He was the leader, he was the general that headed all of the Union forces that freed the slaves and defeated the South. Yes, but why would you tear down, if you're against slavery and racism, you don't tear down the statue of the guy who ended slavery? It's amazing what educated folks nowadays don't know. It's amazing what we don't know. It's not just enough to have communicated knowledge or information. We have to have revealed knowledge. Satan went to Eve in this passage that I opened with here, and he gave her communicated knowledge, but what I find is what's really disappointing is not so much Eve, but Adam had revealed knowledge, because God revealed something directly to him, such as, don't eat from this tree. I mean, he's the one. A lot of times we like to blame Eve. She's the one, and she gave it to Adam, and he ate. But Adam had revealed knowledge. She got it secondhand. In Matthew 16, verses 16 through 18, it says, "Simon Peter replied, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.'" In this passage, I reference it very quickly because Peter had revealed knowledge. Jesus said to him, "My Father has revealed this to you." It wasn't something, a piece of information that was simply given to him, but the Father had revealed it to him. And because the Father had revealed it to him, he said, "I can," even for Peter's failures, he says, "I can use you. In fact, I'm going to build my church on you," and really, I believe, on that confession, "and the gates of hell shall not prevail against you," because he had revealed information, and that's the kind of information we need. We can be deceived by the things that seem to be good and pleasant and desirable. This is what we're told about Eve looked at this fruit, and she saw that it was good, it was pleasant, it was desirable. It had all these things that made her think, well, why shouldn't I want it? We can be deceived by things that seem to be good and desirable and pleasant to us if we simply have communicated knowledge, but she lacked revelation. She lacked a revealed knowledge, an understanding of why she should not eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There is nothing good other than God and everything that is surrendered to His Lordship. That's the only thing that we're told that's good. God alone is good, even Jesus said. Only God is good. So everything, only God, and I would add to that, those that are surrendered to his lordship. This is what we're told. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. We have information. It seems good, pleasant, and desirable. It seems good to us. But if we don't have a really good understanding of it, it can deceive us and end up leading us, it says, to death. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. So he says here, we're not to lead on what? Our own understanding. When we get information, when we get knowledge communicated to us, the best thing to do is say, okay, God, it's not up to me on my own to understand this. Lean not on my own understanding. Let me take it to you and have you help me to understand it the way that I need to understand it. If Eve would have not simply had communicated information, if she would have had understanding to go along with it, she would have looked at what was good, pleasant, and desirable and said, even though it's good, pleasant, and desirable, I understand there's a reason why I should not eat this, partake of it, and I'm not going to. It seemed good, but in the end it did what? Led to death. So we need more than simply this information. And of course, as you know, my point here this morning is when we need to have that kind of information, well, as it says here, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Who's the he? The he is God, right? Father knows best. We need to take it to him and we need to listen to him. And if Adam and Eve would have listened to him, things have been a lot better off. Father Knows Best was a TV, well, it actually started out as a radio show. I did not know this. In 1949, and it was on the radio until 1954. It went onto the TV from 1954 to 1960. Now, I barely catch that 1960, so I've only ever seen reruns of Father Knows Best. Okay, but some of you have seen the original airing TV shows of Father Knows Best. I'm not pointing anybody out, but anyways, Jim Anderson was a common sense, middle-aged husband and father. The show was centered around all kinds of situations that would come up in the normal everyday life of a family and that would, that you'd have to make a decision. Well, how do you handle this situation? And that's what it was, the show on a weekly basis. And so whenever these different situations would arise, we had the kids. We had Betty and Bud and Kathy, and they would come to their father for wisdom, because Father knows best. And that was the whole premise of the show. So when God told Adam not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, did the Father know what was best for mankind? Should they have listened to Dad? Father knew what was best, amen? Even though to them the appearance of the situation looked different, he ultimately knew what was best for them. If God has always been truthful with Adam and Eve and he's always done what's best for them, then I should think he's going to do the same for me, right? And if Adam and Eve, here's the thing, they'd only ever known him as good. They'd never known him in this loving relationship. They'd never only known him to be looking out and doing what was best for them. Yet, how was Satan able then to deceive them? Sometimes I think because we don't ever know any different. In fact, I'm all for innocence, but sometimes innocence can be problematic in that you don't know that there are people out there who want to deceive you and hurt you and take advantage of you, because people that have, they've never been around people who treat them like that. So they're trusting and all those. And so maybe it was trust. I don't know. But with all this that God had this relationship with Adam and Eve, yet Satan was still able to deceive them. So I want to go back and look at where we started in Genesis 3, verses 4 and 5. It says, "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for you know that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Satan was able to get Eve to focus, rather than on God's generosity, he got her to focus on something to view it from the fact that he was withholding something from them. Think about that. The one thing that you can't have. God said you can have access to and participate in and eat of everything in the garden, except one thing. And Satan was able to get them to focus on that one thing that God was withholding from them. And instead of focusing on all that God had done for them or for us and all that God has done for us, we focus on that one thing that we don't have or that we think that we want or that we should have. And so he was able to use that rather than looking at God's goodness and his blessing to look at it and get her to look at God as God who was being mean and withholding something from it. And it's, look at it, it's so good and it's so pleasing and it's desirable. And God knows that if you eat of it, you'll be like him. He doesn't want you to be like him. He's withholding something from you. He wants to be better than you. He gets sort of focused on negative rather than all the good things God has. My confession, I have to, on a regular basis, remind myself of how blessed I am rather than bellyaching about one or two little ridiculous things that are not the way I want it. I'm the only one. I know you're all almost so much more holy and mature than me, so please pray for me, okay? But I confess that. I mean, there are days I'm driving home from Ohio City and I will just, it's just like, you know, it's like, what is wrong with you? Do you stop and think about how blessed you are, how fortunate you are, and you're thinking about this one and complaining about this one thing? I mean, I really do. I need to hit upside the head. And God does that. I know there's a lot of volunteers. Get in line. I'm glad that God does it to me spiritually, all right? And that's what it's like. I always think about when I get corrected by God, you know, the Holy Spirit will really correct you about something. It always reminds me of, and I don't know what he goes by these days, John Mellencamp song, Hurts So Good, okay? God's correction, it hurts, but it's good. It's productive, you know? So, He got her, rather than seeing God's generosity, he got her to focus on this one thing that's being withheld. And this is what Satan is going to want to do, wants to do this. It says the serpent had Eve's attention. He focused her on the one and only thing that was forbidden from her. And because of this, he could initiate, that was first thing he got her to do. Because of that, he could initiate step two of what I call the deception. This is the deception. He's deceiving her. Rather than all the good things, he's getting to one thing. And because he got her to focus on that one thing, now he can go into step two of his deception. And step two is that this would be a direct contradiction of what God had already stated. However, it appeared to be sound reasoning, along with a promise of benefit. He says, look, God, the serpent said, God knows that if you eat of this, you're going to be like God, knowing good and evil. So the first step of the deception was to get her to focus on the one thing that she couldn't have. That allowed her to go to step two, pointing out what really was true in the sense that when she ate of it, she knew the difference between good and evil. I mean, he didn't lie when he told her that. But that's not what God wanted, because God knew best. Father knew best that it was not good for us to think in terms of good and evil, right and wrong. In fact, it goes back to what we were talking about in Sunday school this morning. Romans 14:1, there are disputable matters. You know what? If Adam and Eve had never eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, if sin had never entered into the world, what is an absolutely true biblical statement, there are disputable matters, that would not exist. Did anybody get what I just said? There would be no such thing. Think about that. This is the kind of thing that just boggles my mind. I might just end my sermon here. I don't know what more I can say. This is the kind of thing that just boggles my mind. When I think about you think about heaven, what's perfection going to be like? And we think, oh, there's going to be no sickness, and there's going to be no evil, and there'll be no murder, and there'll be no Antifa. There won't even be a difference of opinion. Everybody will agree with me, finally! And they will see that I am right! Just looking for the lightning bolt. I'm just wait. Think about that. there won't even be a difference of opinion. That line of being disputable matters, it would not have been able to be written. Dan. Did they give an answer?
No.
Oh. Well, Jesus actually gave an answer. He said, in heaven, there will be no giving in marriage or taking in marriage. There won't be that. I mean, this is only an opinion, okay? But based on what Jesus is saying, even though I think we're going to know each other, we're going to, because it also says we'll know as we've been fully known. We'll fully know as we've been known. So I think we're going to know about that relationship and stuff, but that relationship is not going to exist in the way that we experience it here on earth. That's my interpretation of all of that. But those are things, it's amazing to me when we get to heaven, we're going to understand all that. You know, we're going to understand all that and all these different things that we don't understand. The reason we don't understand them is why we have disputable matters. If we understood them, we wouldn't dispute over them, right? Jen?
When you said prowling, so the Lord had to come up with a plan.
Right. Oh, I want to make one thing really clear. Just because if Adam and Eve had not sinned, it doesn't mean that sin wouldn't eventually found its way into the world. Okay? It would have all been one of us if it wasn't them, amen? So, yeah, I want to be clear about that. I don't put all this blame on them. If it wasn't them, it would have been somebody else. That's for sure. So, but he takes and he implements step two. And it seems perfectly logical what he says. God knows that if you eat flesh, you'll be like him in that you'll know good and evil. And that is, he deceived them by telling them the truth. The problem was is they didn't understand the implications of that truth, in that we as human beings are not built to deal well with the idea of right and wrong, good and evil, because it sets up, what have we talked about the previous couple of weeks? It sets up judgment. When we think in terms of right and wrong, good and evil, we think of things being right and wrong, and we judge everything. And yet we're told not to judge. Maybe that's why God said we need to fulfill the law, so we don't think that way anymore. This is what I love about Scripture. There's all these pieces of the puzzle, and you just start fitting them together and putting them together. And hopefully, you know, you can make a little bit of sense out of it. God was withholding something from them they thought would take them to a higher level. If we have this, we'll be elevated to be like God. This is the deception that Satan set up. But the truth of the matter is, it was deception. And obviously, it worked. God knew it wasn't better for them. It wouldn't take them to a higher level. It'd be giving them something that they can't handle. So, Genesis 3:6 says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. So also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Eve saw that the tree was good. It was good. It was pleasant, and it would make them wise. These are all desirable things. The problem was it wasn't. The father knew that's not what was best for them. I can't stress this enough. Again, with what's going on and the not understanding of why you don't tear down Ulysses S. Grant statues, Father knows best. It's just a matter of age, folks. Maybe God doesn't know everything. Maybe he's just been alive so long, he's just figured everything out. I mean, how many of you can say, I have a better understanding of the world than I did 10, 20 years ago? It's something that all the people, the 20-something-year-olds out there that are demanding for society be completely ripped apart and turned upside down into something else, they just don't, they don't know what they're talking about because they haven't lived long enough. It's really that simple. And I don't mean to belittle them based on age, but folks, I mentioned here, I honestly, between 50 and 60, I've probably learned more and got more understanding of the world and people than I did in the previous 40 years. I mean, I am stunned. I mean, by this point, I know you guys probably figured all this stuff out much earlier than me, because we've already determined you're much more holy than I am, and therefore you probably have much better understanding than I do. But I am stunned at how much of the world and people I've come to understand starting, you know, age 50 to 60, when you think by the time you're 40, 35, 40, surely you've got it figured out, right? Does anybody agree with me? No, apparently I'm the only one. I'm sorry I'm such a slow learner. Well, I should come back. I'm going to go out there then, and y'all come up here and teach me, apparently, because you got it all figured out. But that's obviously, they thought it was good. It looked good. The information just simply said this was going to benefit us. Is it possible that as Eve was staring at the tree, her thoughts began to track along the lines of, wait a minute, there's something good and beneficial in that tree, and God's forbidding it from me. Why can't I have it? And Adam and I could be wiser, we could be happier if God wouldn't withhold this from us. But that wasn't the reality of the situation, because God knew that it wasn't good for them, even though it appeared to be good for them. When we begin to think like this, we are justifying our disobedience. Eve was justifying the behavior that she was about to do in disobeying God. Look at it. It's good. It's pleasing. It's desirable. It's going to make me like God, knowing good and evil. Why shouldn't I be elevated like that? Not always, but many times, before we do something that's disobedient, what do we go through a process in our mind, and we justify the disobedience that we're about to enter into. Amen? And we do it based on information, but it's how we use that information to justify our actions. The information alone is not enough. It needs to be revealed to information. It needs to be a God information where He gives us understanding. But bottom line, and again, Father knows best. Maybe rather than trying to justify our disobedience, we should just listen to the Father. Amen? Satan's ultimate tactic was to pervert the character of God in Eve's eyes. If he was successful, he could get her to turn on God, because God's rule is established and upheld by his character. So he brought God's character into question in Eve's mind. We listen to and we trust people that we respect. And we have examined, we see their character, and we believe it is good. We believe it is honest. We can respect who they are and what they stand for and how they live their lives. And when we find people like that, we are infinitely more likely to listen to them and to agree with them, because we respect them. And so Satan, I believe, got Adam and Eve to question God's character. If God was really that good, why would he be withholding something from you that is good, pleasing, and desirable, and that could make you and elevate you to make you like him? So he brings God's character into question in Eve's mind. Psalm 89:14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Now, this is talking about God. This, to me, shows how important God's character is and how we view it. God's character, do we view it as righteous and just, as being the very foundation of his rule, the very foundation of God's rule of why we should trust him, why we should depend on him, why we should listen to him, because the very foundation of his authority is righteousness and justice. He is always, as a basic principle, going to do what is right, and he is going to do what is just. Therefore, I can trust him. Does that make sense? When it talks about his throne, it's talking about his authority and his position of rulership. And so that should be our perspective. So Satan began to twist that and pervert that. As always, I got to skip over some things. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." We need to have our eyes in the spiritual realm, not in the physical realm. Fix our eyes on what is unseen, the eternal spiritual realm that God operates in, not in this physical world. Adam and Eve focused on the physical of the tree in front of them. It looked good, desirable, and I forget what the other word I used was. It looked good. The physical looking at the tree looked good. But the spiritual truth in the spiritual realm was, no, it's not good for you because you can't handle what it's going to do to you. So we need to understand things from a spiritual perspective, not the physical perspective. It may look good and desirable for attaining, you know, knowledge and truth and all that, but it's not. The enemy was able to get Eve to turn on God by undermining her view of God's character. This can easily happen to us when we're not seeing a prayer answered as quick as we should be. We don't see events going the way we think that they should. When we don't see people treating us the way that we should. All those things. Satan will use all those things. All those things that are not perfect in your life just the way you think they should be. And you don't see God acting. You don't see God answering prayer. And you don't see this happening and that happening and on your timetable. Then Satan will use that to cause you to question the character of God, just like he did Eve. And then he can move on to the next step, and he can deceive us. Now, you know what the problem with deception is, right? The problem with deception is anybody that's deceived doesn't know they're deceived. That's what deception is. It means you don't know. And that's what Satan does, because he will always refer you back to, well, you're not being deceived. Did your prayer get answered? Well, no. Does your husband treat you as nice as he should? Well, no. Are you, you know, is the job going well? Well, no. So he'll always refer you back to those things and to use that to deceive us. But God's foundation is righteousness and judgment. Those are the things that we need to understand and that we need to focus on. This is how he deceives us. We need to get rid of our own communicated information and reveal unrevealed information, revealed knowledge that the Father has given us. And as I always, practically every week, I pick up my Bible and I hold it up in front of you and say, this is the source of that. This is where Father knows best. This is where he tells us what he knows is best for us, and we need to pay attention to this rather than our own thought process, looking at it saying, well, it looks desirable, it looks, you know, pleasing to the eye, it looks good for attaining wisdom and all that, understanding is, and we get deceived away from what the Father has told us. The Father knows what's best because he already knows the future. He already knows. When we make decisions based on, well, if I do this, I think or I hope this will happen if I make this decision. That's why we struggle with making decisions. We struggle with making decisions because we're not sure what the outcome of our decision will be. God never wonders what the outcome will be. He already knows. And so he tells us, and we should listen to him because Father knows best. Father already knows what's going to happen. Now, to you younger folks in here, guess what? Your father is not as smart as God, but he's got a whole lot more experience than you do, and he knows better than you do what's potentially going to happen if you make these decisions. And Father probably knows better than you do, okay, if you're 20 or 18 or 16 or 22 or 28. Actually, no, I don't. He does great. For all the hard time I've given Kate over the years in front of all you folks, I'm thrilled with how he's grown up and turned out. I've always known, even when he was doing the most insane things I've ever seen, I always knew he would be a good husband and a good father when he was put into that position. As soon as he got engaged, he's like, oh my gosh, I need to go get a real job. And it started, and he's done great. So, am I lying?
It looked where he wound up.
We're still hoping he gets that real job. So, you know, he's done great. I gotta close. I'm leaving out another whole sermon here. James 1:16-17. Do not be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change with the shifting shadows. These things of God, it doesn't change. James doesn't say that most gifts come from God. He says all gifts from God. We are explicitly told that every good and perfect gift comes from God. We could just as easily write, there is nothing good for you outside of God's will. If everything good comes from God, then everything within God's will. Outside of God's will, there's nothing that's good. That's why we're told, you know, that we need to stay with being within God's will, listening to the Father. I got to even skip over that. Let me close. God is good and his word is true. That's it. That's as much as we need to know. We are only good to the degree that we do, think, say, plan, pursue, teach, counsel, live, submitted to listening to the Father, because the Father knows best. Or you could say, submitting to the Lord's will. To the degree that we listen to and act upon the Father's guidance is to the degree that we can be labeled good. Because God is the only one that's good. Even Jesus himself said, only the Father is good. So as we listen to him, as we follow him, as we obey him, we are good. And Father knows best, and he's always going to want to do what's best for us. And our words, our thoughts, our actions are only true to the degree that they line up with the Father's words. If we want to be true, if we want to speak truth and speak good things and things that build up, then we need to speak what the Father speaks. In episodes of Father Knows Best, sometimes the kids, you know, Betty, Bud, Kathy, they'd come, and they would ask for the Father's advice, but they didn't think, when he gave them his advice, they didn't think that he knew what he was talking about. And so they would act differently than what he told them. And guess what? In the show, always happened. It never turned out good, right? And in the end, they always found out that Father knew best. And we do that. We all do that. That is our relationship with God. We often think that, oh, well, you know, this was written for people 2,000, 4,000 years ago, whatever, and I know better. And then usually, and what ends up, we find out in the end, is we end up finding out, guess what? As the situation blows up in our face or collapses on top of us, we find out that Father knew best. There's hardly a week that goes by that I don't hear from someone say something to this effect to justify or rationalize their position. They'll say things like, the preacher says that verse doesn't really mean that. Or I read on the internet that the Bible has been mistranslated by man. Or they'll say something like, there's an article or a book that says the church has mishandled scripture because of blah, blah, blah. Or my professor said the Bible is biased and racist and homophobic and all these things. Or the great catch-all, that's man's interpretation. There's hardly a week that goes by that I don't hear some statement to one of those effects. All of these types of statements are saying that the Bible is not clear, accurate, or it's open to a different interpretation. Someone all of a sudden knows something that centuries of smart, godly people misunderstood. Gee, all of a sudden, my teacher or my friend, my 16-year-old friend or my 18-year-old friend, knows something that great learned men for centuries have misunderstood. Now, there are plenty of people that believe that, amen? Think about that. Now, I'm going to pick on Kaylee, but she's an adult now. But just move yourself back a few years into school. Am I not true? Am I not right to say it? Like, you get advice, one of your friends tells you something, like, all of a sudden, they know something that, like, you know, Socrates or somebody didn't know. Yes, I know. There's another movie reference. All of a sudden, you know, one of the great church fathers, they didn't know. And all of a sudden, your 16-year-old friend is telling you that that's not true. I mean, when you stop and think about that, how absurd that is. But we all do that, don't we? And so we know that, no, Father knows best. Our earthly fathers and our heavenly Father knows what's best for us. All these statements that I just read to you that I hear almost weekly are statements that are meant to deceive us away from what God knows is best for us. Joshua 1:8, and I close with this, says, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Anybody got a problem with prospering and being successful? I didn't think so. Then, only then, you'll be able to be prosperous and successful in all you do. Like Eve, you open yourself up to deception when you think you somehow have understanding or insight into God's word that is beyond what God himself had or what he wanted to communicate to us. We need to, God's word is simple, it's clear, it's direct, it tells us the truth, and we need to listen to that truth because the truth is, Father knows best.